here for your word, Lord Jesus. We just want to humble ourselves, Lord, to accept it, to hear what you have to say and believe what you speak to us, Lord. Just anoint each person in here, Lord, for this service, whatever it is that you would do through us, and have us to hear, Lord Jesus, have us to believe, Father. Just minister to us, meet our needs, Lord Jesus. Strengthen us, Father, with your power and the inner man. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. If you want to turn your Bibles to John, the third chapter, we're going to read a couple of verses there. And then we're going to continue to speak on this uncomfortable Christ. Uncomfortable, how he makes things. He keeps things stirred up. Satan comes and makes things uncomfortable in a whole different way. He wants to get you stirred up in your faith, get you stirred up in your mind. God comes and says, I want to stir you up in this old comfortable flesh you're living in and get things changing so that you want to surrender all this comfort of the world that we have and give it to me so I can be your real God. John, third chapter, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You may be seated. Except a man be born again, like I spoke a couple weeks ago, Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, let's sit down and have a theological discussion because we know you're a man from God, but we need to find some kind of a middle ground here where we can accept you, and you're not really, you know, you're making it hard on us because you're making us uncomfortable, because here we know you're a man come from God and it's time for the Messiah to come, and there's a lot of things about you that looks like it might be him, but we need to find some place in the middle we can compromise where we can accept you and the Pharisees, and you can accept us as the Pharisees, and we can have a nice church together. And Jesus said that some of the most amazing statements he could have. Can you imagine you're sitting there and Jesus is going to say, well, listen, let me just talk about the way, you know, where I'm coming from. And he said, you must be born again. Never been spoke before as far as I know by human lips. And he said, you must be born again. Let me give you an example of what that might be like. Let's say Brother Paul comes to me. He wants to discuss something I preached. He said, now, Phil, something you preached on Sunday, I'd like to talk about. And I'd say something like, ducks fly south for the winter. Except that's something you heard of. It had to be something even weird. I said, ducks need to have baby kittens. And you look at me like, what are you talking about? That's why Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, what are you talking about? How can a man be born again? He continues to say the same things to us. He says things and we say, well, how can that be? Well, what do you want from me? What do you expect? I've been doing this. It just gets uncomfortable. I got to give up what? And it just keeps getting uncomfortable. It keeps getting uncomfortable. And then, I'm going to read this quote I read Sunday. It says, God makes a way for a man. That man refuses to walk in that way. God has a right to ask, why didn't you do it? That's what he did then. That's what he does now. And that's what I'll ask at the judgment. Why? I gave you every opportunity to be saved, to go in the rapture, to go in the rapture. Who's ever had that opportunity before? You say, well, Elijah was raptured, Nicodemus. Yeah, but we have been hearing it. It's coming for a long, long time. They've been preaching this for 2,000 years, a rapture coming, and we get it. Well, I'm talking about when we're alive. Some of us, maybe. I don't know. Maybe we'll all be dead. I don't care. Kill me. Just to make it, let me go in the rapture. That's all that matters, right? And we get to, we're the generation that gets to do that. And like, yeah, well, that's nice, Brother Phil. Yeah, I'm going in rapture too someday if I get to church. No, you're not. It's just too common. That's what Sister Maddie was saying a minute ago. She said, people, I think they're just so common. It's just so everyday. It's just normal. It's like, no big deal. You go to church, you hear God speak. Okay. Ain't that amazing? Let's go hear God. Yeah, God's speaking tonight, but you know, I just don't feel like going tonight. You have a hard time getting me to believe you believe God's speaking. I'm sorry. Jesus Christ speaking through human flesh, and you couldn't make it. What was more important? What was more important? He said, let's keep reading here. He says, immediately after the death of Ahab. Now, Ahab was a bad king. You know what made him a bad king? He was a borderline believer. He wasn't an unbeliever. If he had just been a flat-out unbeliever, he might have been a decent king. But he was a borderline believer. That's where you get the problem. That's what the problem. That's what God hates it. He says, you make me sick? You're a lukewarm believer? You claim to be a message believer, but you won't walk in the Word for this day? A man who knew what was right to do and yet did not have the courage to step out and do what he knew was right to do. He didn't have the courage. He knew it was right. He knew I should be doing this. I should be doing that. I should be walking in faith. I should. But you know what? I just don't want to do it. Why not? He didn't have the courage. First of all, he didn't have the courage to stand up to his wife. That's right. She was the one who was calling the shots. And he didn't want to keep peace in the home. He didn't want to put up with her going off again. And so he was not willing to go against. And then he also had his own desires. I want this and I want that. And he was a weak, washy little spineless jellyfish. He had no courage to stand up for what was right because all the popularity that goes with being a lukewarm Christian. See, a lukewarm Christian is actually very popular. Very popular. Not with God, but with the people. Because if I will get up here, or Brother Jerry would have got up here years ago and preached a lukewarm message, we would have a lot of people here tonight. We'd all be going to hell, but at least we'd be happy now. Not the courage because of the popularity. He said, if this world isn't contaminated today with Ahabs, this Christendom that we live in is contaminated with Ahabs, with men who really know that it gives, it's right to give your life to God, be filled with the Spirit, to follow the teaching of the Bible, yet without the courage to stand up and do it. Reminds me of another situation like that in Sodom. Now, do we live in Sodom or what? This ain't Dixon, Tennessee. It's Sodom, Tennessee. Sodom everywhere, not just Tennessee. Bible said the sins of Sodom vexed the righteous soul of Lot daily. How that man's soul was righteous. He looked out upon the sins of the land. He knew that that was wrong. They were doing wrong, yet without the courage to stand for his conviction. To stand for your conviction. What do you really believe? Do you live it, or is it just a religion for you? No wonder the whole world has become like a Sodom and Gomorrah. How that the lots today across the nation, around the world, standing in churches, who is convinced that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that his power is just as real today as it ever was, without the courage to stand in the pulpit and to denounce sin because of some barrier that would excommunicate them from a fellowship that they had joined into. Brother and sister, how many message churches, how many preachers, how many believers, when they know it's wrong, they know you need to do this, you need to stand for the truth, but they won't do it. It will excommunicate them from some kind of fellowship they've joined into, like their family. Friendship. This church, that person. They want to be popular. It's everyone wants to be liked. That's all it comes down to. I want people to like me. Very few people say, I really don't care if people like me or not. Now, they'll say it all the time, but they don't do it. They don't believe it. They don't act it. They prove they really do. And that's usually why they're saying it, to try and protect themselves because someone doesn't like them. Well, I don't care if you like me or not. Yes, you do, or you wouldn't say it that way. You're trying to be defending your ego, your pride or whatever, because it hurts. We all want to be liked. And someone gets up and says, I can't stand the way you preach, Brother Phil. Well, thanks. I don't like the way you dress. And now what we do, we sass back at them some way to, you're going to hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. That ain't Christ-like. That's something we get to die to. Let's get set free from it. Oh, some barrier would excommunicate us from some kind of fellowship we've joined up with. We just want to be friends. We just want to be friends. I remember, I think I said Sunday, I don't know if I did or not, but when I first started coming to church here in Dixon, and, you know, God had just done a work in my life, and I was coming to church, and when I first thought, man, this is so awesome. It's going to be so wonderful. I get to go to church with believers, and we're all going to love each other. Oh, I can't wait. And about 2 weeks later, I was looking around like, what is going on around here? this is messy to believers. They don't even like each other. This was 30 years ago. People didn't want to talk about God. They didn't want to talk about the message. They didn't want to talk about anything. They just want to like do this and that. And they go here and they talk about this group and they're talking about them and all this kind of stuff going on. I'm looking around and say, what kind of a mess have I got myself in? A lot of you were there too. Oh, man. Because that's not what God was calling for anyways. Just a nice, happy group of people. He's calling for believers. What's the problem? What did Sodom want? What did Lot want? He wanted a comfortable place to live. He just wanted a comfortable life. Ahab just wanted a comfortable life of ease. That's all they wanted. What's so wrong with that? Because they were lukewarm believers about it is why. They're willing to compromise on the truth to have that lukewarm, comfortable life. That's the problem. And if they've been living today, the preacher would have said, Lot, you need to get born again. Ahab, you need to get born again. Well, who do you think you are to tell me that? How do you know if I'm born again or not? Because you live in a lukewarm life. Your life is telling on you. It's obvious. Anyone can see. Your actions speak louder than words. You can claim to be born again all you want right up here with your mouth. But if your life is lukewarm, some people will be fooled. A born-again believer is not going to be fooled. Your pastor is not going to be fooled. They can see that. There's something wrong with your experience. We want it comfortable. Brother Bram said this. He said, like springtime. Old mother birds building nests out there and laying eggs. Some of them will lay a nest full of eggs that will never hatch. Why? She could lay a nest full of eggs, have a whole church full of good believers. She could sit on them and be just so loyal. The pastor preaches to them every week. She could turn them eggs each day. Calls them all the time and says, how you doing, brother? Just want to make sure everything's fine. This is your pastor calling. Everything going okay? Isn't that the kind of pastor people want? You doing okay today? You need extra money or anything, just let me know. Let me come over and babysit you. Turn them each day, stay there away from food until she gets so poor she could hardly fly off the nest. And how many pastors have absolutely burned themselves out trying to be that kind of a pastor? Going, just going and going and going until they're just totally wore out because they try to be the kind of pastor that the people wanted them to be. Just going and going, working, 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 trying to do this to keep the people happy. Just like that mother hand, that bird, she's turning the egg. She's keeping them. They're warm. They're comfortable. Everything is fine. Don't let anything hurt them. Don't let anything get to them. She's supposed to do that. The pastor's supposed to do that, but not the way a lot of them do. Here's the problem. No matter how much she babies them and how much she pets them and how loyal she is to them, they'll never hatch. Why? She hadn't been with the mate and they're not fertile. She said they'll just lay there and rot. And if the minister hasn't been with the mate, the rest of the eggs are not fertile and they will just lie there and rot and he can pet them and tell them what a nice person they are and tell them they're a wonderful person and I'm so glad to have you in church and oh, you're just a wonderful person and can't we just get along with each other? And they'll sit there and they'll rot in the pew and die and go to hell because he was never with the mate himself. That seed cannot come through the word. That's true. How many churches, how many people are sitting there just a dead rotten egg, but they look so good and they're so comfortable because everything's nice and warm and cozy. Let me tell you something. A real mother, she will take care of those eggs and she'll turn them. She'll be faithful and she'll be loyal, but she'll make sure she was with the mate before she goes and tries to hatch some eggs out too. That's the matter with a lot of our conferences, with our camp meetings today. Well, we got a bunch of pets and sissified preachers. He said, it's a disgrace. They come in there because they got a little prestige, a little education. We got a nest full of rotten eggs. What we need is a good old-fashioned nest cleaning time. All the way down there, they'll push it out till we got men and women that's filled with the Holy Ghost, that's been with the mate, Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit that he was baptized with. That's right. Then we got life in the camp. If we don't have them been with the mate, you're just a dead egg. You must be with them. You must get with your husband, and you must bring forth life. Otherwise, you're just a dead egg sitting here. Rotten eggs. Nothing stinks quite as bad as rotten eggs, I think. Maybe rotten potatoes. They stink. They're nasty. And you can see it, folks. People sit in these pews year after year after year, and they never go an inch forward. There's never any progress. You can tell it. They just stay there. And they're just like I said Sunday. They're right at this point, and they'll move all the way this way, and they'll move that way, and they look like they're moving somewhere, and they are moving. Look what God's doing in my life. But they will never go forward because they're afraid to go forward, because you get more vulnerable. Because this is called trusting. How many times have I trusted before and got hurt for it? So every time you get hurt, you get a little more hesitant, and you get a little, and pretty soon you just don't want to go at all. Just get comfortable here. Because trust hurts. So we don't trust God because we're afraid he'll hurt us. And sometimes he paddles us, he chastens us, and we think, see, I told you, he hurts. He don't chasten you the way people do, earthly people. You can trust him. He's good. Brother Branham says this, what we need is men and women like that today that can shut the mouth of the world by the signs of the Holy Ghost. Shut the mouth of the world by the signs of the Holy Ghost. Like what David gave a testimony, he said he was talking to someone who, I guess they were a message believer or something, and they were just kind of not being all that kind. And David said, let me tell you what. And he told his story, his testimony, how he got born again. The guy just looked at him after that like, what's he going to say then? All right. Your testimony has shut the world up if you're not afraid to say it. You might make them mad. They might not say anything until you walk away. They might say something to your face. Everyone acts different. It's no big deal. He said, we need a turning upside down, a shaking out. This is not what we want. Well, I want that, Brother Phil. No, you don't. Not your old flesh doesn't. Your new nature does. Your new nature says, yeah, turn me upside down. Do what you have to do. Get all this world out of me. And your old nature is cringing like, oh, do you have to preach this? So it doesn't have to be so rough. My life is falling apart. That's what Brother Branham says we need. Everything just falling apart and topsy-turvy and, oh my goodness, this is going on, that's going on. And Satan's there trying to smooth everything out, and God just keeps ripping things up, turning things upside down. My, I'm comfortable till I go to church. You're thanking God for that, right? Thank God for making it like, thanks God for turning things upside down, for making it uncomfortable. Why? So we will press on because it gets too comfortable. We just sit there all lazy. A lot of the world, he said we need to get a lot of the world and things out of the church that's come in these last days. Money is scattering out through the country and big things. They got the people's minds on big things instead of on God. Compromising with the scripture. All the money, all the popularity, all that means to be a message, all the comforts out there. And so what we do is we compromise with the scripture. He said many brothers who started out on the way, but they got popular in some organization, compromised on what he believed. Brother, sister, let me just say this. It's very tempting. It can be very tempting. What if someone came, some great popular message preacher came? He said, you know what, if you would come to my church, or if you would do it this way, or you could do this, you know what, I'm going to put you this. Let's take it for a minister. You know what, Brother Phil, if you would come, if you would just compromise on a few things here, I'm going to have you come and preach at my church at least once a month. And I got 1,000 people in my church. There's a lot of money, there's a lot of popularity. You'd be getting invitations all around the world to go preach. You could go to Africa and preach. You can go here and preach. You can do all this. You could do basically what you want to do. Think what good you'd be doing for the Lord. Now that stuff happens, folks. I talked to a minister once. They asked him to be a certain something, this very well-known preacher at his church. They asked him, will you come and be part of our mission team and do all this kind of stuff? And he said, but you're doing wrong here. You're off the word here. He wouldn't do it. He could have been, he's a well-known minister, but he could be like way up there right now. He would have done it. It's tempting. You say, well, if you're really a minister, you won't be tempted. Jesus was tempted. You're holier than he is, right? Come on. He said, compromising. Many brothers started out on the way, but they got popular in some organization, compromised on what he believed. That blood doesn't run in a genuine Holy Ghost born man. Compromising blood doesn't run. Hybrid blood doesn't run. It's pure, brother and sister. It's been changed. All devils in hell can't accept him on that word. I like that. You're not going to find a compromiser once they've been born again. And if you do, you better believe God's going to chasten that man and bring him back to the truth. Because he's born again, he's his son, and that born again man is going to accept the chastening as the Son of God does and come back and get right. Absolutely. That blood doesn't run in a genuine Holy Ghost born man. All devils in hell can't upset him on the word. He'll stand on that regardless of what. Amen. Paul said, there's nothing present or future can come. Anything can separate us from the love of God. That's for everybody. You get born again, there's nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's in Romans 8, I believe it says, height and depth and peril and sword and torment and whatever else. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Boy, that's some encouragement. We need to read that a little bit more often instead of all the other stuff that was going through our head. Read what the Bible says. Read what God says about you, how he has got you so protected. You can't get away from him. Try and get above his life. Try and get lower than his love. Some of us have been so low, so down in the world, just in the muck of sin. And look where you are now. You know why? Because no matter how low you got, you cannot get lower than God's love can reach. You cannot run it. How many of you have tried to run? I did. You try to get out. You try to get away. You try to go west. You try to this. You're doing all this kind of stuff. And even when you're coming to church, you're still trying to get away here and trying to find some cover, trying to do something. But what happens, he keeps drawing you back. He says, get back here. Now take the next step forward. And finally you do. Why? Because that's what the sons and daughters of God do, is they get there and they keep going forward. His love will bring you to that place. And it's not a good kind of love, like, boy, I sure love this. No, it's a misery sometimes. Sometimes it's just so upsetting and it gets you so tore up and all this stuff going on and you're going through all the trials and all that's going on. And he's saying, oh, my life is just in the shambles and everything's falling apart. And what I'm supposed to do? He said, I'm trying to get you back here. Are you back? Yes. Okay, take a step forward. Okay. Tired of the chastening. Tired of having to beat around. Tired of acting like a little kid who has to be told and told and told and told. Why don't you just start walking? Why don't you just show some maturity? Haven't you been through enough junk by this time that you know when he says walk, you just walk? Quit having to be preached at all the time. Quit having to be paddled back in line. It's like some wild cow out there or something like, yeah, keep pushing her back in line and keep pushing her back in line. Just walk. You know how to get to the barn. So our nature gets in the way. Our old nasty nature that we just don't want to die to. They say, okay, hey, you need more chastening? Come on, let's go. Bam! Not again. I keep going through the same thing over and over. Well, whose fault is that? I can't overcome it, Brother Phil. Whose fault is that? You put it in God's hand sometime. He'll get you to the point. Why don't you just believe him? Believe he's going to do it. He'll get you there. You sure you want to get there, Phil? Yes. Ugh. Then let's go. Can I tell you something else that I have discovered? Once you let that thing go, you are never regretting it. The freedom is so amazing, and it's never near as bad as you thought it was going to be. It just ain't. It's just something in your mind that you just I let that go. And the Holy Spirit says, okay, I'll take that. And he gets, and there you are. It's like, oh, that was easy. But getting to that point, can you just go through hell and high water sometime to get there? Yeah. And all he's trying to do is say, well, just walk in faith. I'm going to get off subject a little bit. Can I do that? Thank you. There is something going on that I've seen around the message that people think is faith, which is, I'm going to say, it might be mental faith, all right? But it's not the genuine faith that we're looking for. Y'all know the story. I think the guy's name was John Ryan. He was blind. He went through the prayer line. And Brother Branham said, you know, he said, just claim your belief. He said, thank God I'm healed, or praise, you know, whatever. Praise God I've been healed. And until you get sight, and then he was sitting in the barber shop, and the barber said, so I heard you could see. He said, yes, sir, thank God I'm healed. And his eyes came open. He could see, right, running down the street. Okay, great story. That happened. But here's what I found, and people have taken this and made something out of it that is not. The story goes like this. He came through the prayer line, and I don't know, I should have read up on this. I was out of town. I didn't read up on it, but from my memory, Brother Brandon either saw a vision or he spoke. Anyways, he said, you're healed. I don't know if it said, thus saith the Lord, but Brother Brandon knew that he was going to receive his sight. And so he said, praise God. He walked off this platform. He went back out. And he couldn't see. He'll say he came back through the same prayer line. And he walked up to Brother Branham. He said, I thought you said I was healed. Brother Branham said, I thought you said you believed. But listen to this. Brother Branham picked up on it that the man had been Catholic. He said, I knew he needed something that he could do. So he said, go out there and confess, thank God I'm healed, or however, praise the Lord I'm healed, however he said to do it. And so that man went out doing this because he had a Catholic training that said I had to do something. They say the rosary, they had, you know, say this many Hail Marys, this something. And it was a Catholic thing that he was still holding on to, not a believer thing at all, folks. But that's what he did. And then when the test came up, he just said that, and God accepted that faith. And because he was a believer, he did believe, but he needed that other extra something just to give him something, you know, that he had something that he could do. And so this is what people do. They say, just confess something, you'll get it. I can't tell you how many people have told me, like when I was younger, you want to get married, Brother Phil, just confess it. Every day you're going to get married. Well, what if God says, okay, fine, get married. I'm going to give you something that you're going to wish you had never known. Go walk in my permissive will and marry someone if I don't want you to get married. But they say this thing, and so many people have that. I prayed about it, and I just confessed it, and I got married. Well, that doesn't mean you wouldn't have got married without confessing it either. But hey, if you don't believe that, that's fine. But just recognize this. It wasn't because they're confessing it. God doesn't give you something just because you say it over and over. That's Catholicism. That's saying the rosary. It's the faith. Believe it. John Ryan would have been healed whether he said that anymore at all or not. The only reason Brother Branham gave it is so that he would be comfortable. He had something to say. Now, when God speaks to you and says something and you confess that, that's completely different. But you still don't, he don't do it because you say it every day over and over. It's because you believe it every day. You don't ever have to say a word. Brother Branham said this, you go and plant a garden. You go out the next day and you dig up the seed to see if it's grown any. You're going to kill it. It's not going to grow. You go up there, I guess it ain't working. I don't see anything growing. Of course not. You plant it and you ignore it. Just keep it in the right atmosphere of faith. You don't have to walk around and say, well, praise God this and praise God that, because God's going to hear me say it every day. And then he's going, well, you said it 365 times this year. I guess I'll go ahead and give it to you. Catholicism. Come on. That ain't faith. Anyways. I just felt I needed to say that. Walk in faith. Hear what God has to say. And until he says it, just walk. I so appreciate what Brother Jerry did when his son John, he went off. He went off back into the world and everything did. And people were calling and saying, well, just believe, Brother Jerry. Just confess it, whatever. He said, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. God hasn't told me he's coming back. I'm not going to claim he's coming back until God tells me he's coming back. Aren't you glad you have a pastor like that? What if he just went in his hope so? With his mental faith. Well, I believe he's coming back. I believe he's coming back. And he don't come back. Well, where's your confidence when brother, he says something to you. Now, this is what God said. What did God say about John or not? Think about it. Have a minister stand there and only tell you what God told him. Well, that didn't make people happy. They want, because their kids are doing crazy stuff too, and they want to see what the pastor, you know, had the same kind of conviction they did. I know they're coming back, aren't they, Brother Jerry? I don't know. Oh. Let's be honest. What good is it going to do to give yourself some false hope so? Walk in faith and believe what God has told you and ask for something. He said, I'll give you what you desire. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it for you. But you got to be walking in his will to ask in his name. Otherwise, it's you're asking in your own name. That's uncomfortable. I don't want it to be that way. I want all my kids saved. I want to be healed. I want this. I want this. And people in hell want ice water. What good does it do to want? What is God's will? That's what I want. What is God's will? That's what I want. See, that's when you become a slave. That's when you surrender your will to his and say, whatever you want for me. And he says, oh, we're starting to get into rapture in faith now. We're starting to get into slavery, love slavery. This is what I was looking for all the way down through time. This is the bride I was looking for. Those who are willing to surrender their will. Say, not my will, but thine be done. If I have to go by myself, the whole family and the whole world throws me out and casts me off and say, whatever. If I walk by myself, I'll still walk. That's what he's looking for. Just you and him. An individual walk with Christ. My. It's not you and your husband. It's not you and your wife. It's not you and your kids. It's not you and your pastor. It's not you and your dog. It's just you and Jesus Christ. Well, I tell you what. Nothing present or future can come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That real, genuine birth of the Holy Spirit comes into a man. He's a son of God. Listen to this. There's no chasm between him and God. He's his son in his presence. I know that's true. No chasm. That means you've been united back again. No chasm. It's not me here and God over there, and once in a while I reach out and he anoints me or something. It's we are one. We're united together. I can't wait to get to Sunday sermon again. Man, I'm getting right on the edge of it. Let me finish this here. A great storm can take place. Doubt begin to come in. Frustrations begin to come in. What happened? Hybrid back again. You know what? A genuine original plant, you don't have to spray it. No, sir. Bugs won't even get on it. It's that hothouse plant that you have to spray. So what's he talking about? People, some starts coming in and Satan starts throwing up trials. We got all frustrated and tore up and we're ready to quit church and we're ready to do this and we do that and we go all crazy and stuff. We get all lukewarm and we got to go and get our comfort somewhere else. Why? Because it's a hothouse plant. Got to be sprayed to keep the bugs off. Brother Gene says, he comes in, he says he's got his long face and he's sitting there sullen looking at me. I said, Brother Gene, is everything okay? You all right, Brother Gene? You look like you're feeling bad. We all love you, Brother Gene. Would you like to have a good attitude, please? You don't want to? That's fine. Here, you have your safe place right here, Brother Gene. You're going to be just fine, Brother Gene. What a coward. He's a coward and I'm a coward and I'm worse than he is. I'm teaching him to be a coward. You know why? When did I pick on Brother Gene? Because he's never that way. Can I talk about Brother Gene for a minute? What I said just now was just a make-believe. Let me tell you the real Brother Gene. Brother Gene sits here tonight, the only person in his family. Enough said. Where's your wife, Brother Gene? Where's your kids? When's the last time you saw him have a bad attitude in church? He sits there, he amens, he listens. He's a pillar. He gets up and plays the drums. He's faithful. He's loyal. Last Sunday, God spoke. He said, tell Brother Gene that he's one of those. I recognize God saying, you're going on. You're one that's going on, Brother Gene. Man, what a warrior. He said, that's what's the matter. You have to spray and baby and pet around with so-called Christians. Well, don't preach too hard. You're going to hurt someone's feelings today, Brother Phil. Just be nice. Let's get the bugs off. Let's get that guy come to church with bugs on him. We got to get the bugs off again. You got a little bit of doubt here, Brother Paul. You got a little bit of attitude here. Let's preach that off of you. And not all you got. Let's pull these weeds that you haven't been pulling. Oh, you look like a Christian again, Brother Paul. I'll see you next week if you bother to come. That's what he's talking about. Just want people to come in church so we can be nice to them and tell them all these nice things and get all those spirits off of you and get all that doubt and all that frustration and get it off of you. That's your job. You live a life that they don't get on you. You live a life of a genuine plant and they can't get on you. Hallelujah. That's what your job is. If you live such a life of faith that when those devils come up to get on you, oh man, not that guy. I'll get on Will over here. I ain't getting on. Oh, who do you think you are? Huh? You think you're all that, don't you? You think that I can't mess with you anymore? I'm an evil spirit. I'll get on you if I want. I just don't want to. Yeah, like a spirit's going to walk away and not get on you when he can. No, they can't. You know why? Because every time they come, and you know how they do it? They get through your mind. They come right through this mind right here, and they say, oh, will you accept this, Brother Jimmy? And you say, Brother Jimmy, no. Brother Jimmy's so calm, isn't he? Oh, I like it. He's just faithful. He just comes. Brother Jimmy's sitting here by himself, too. I love watching people grow. What encouragement. You just see people just taking the word, and over time you just see it. You just see this change in their demeanor, the change in the way they walk, the change. I'm not talking physically. Just something different about them. You look at that and say, wow. Look at that. Something solid there. There's something that's real there. They're not bringing all these spirits into church all the time. They're coming in and they're just them and God, and they say, I'm here for the right reason. Preach what you got to preach. Ain't a house plants. You have to tell a Christian, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, well, now, I just tell you, I got a right. Yeah, you do. God has a right, too. You know how people are. I got a right to this and I got a right to that. And they put their rights above everyone else's rights. Isn't that right? I have a right not to hear the word Trump. I have a right to say Trump. Well, I have a right to do this. And God has a right to say what he wants to say too. This is his house. He'll say what he wants to say. Well, I have a right not to listen to it. You sure do. I have a right to say it. See, that's a hothouse plant. They can't stand nothing in the beginning. That's right. When you need what you need is an original old digging out and tearing down, as I said last night. Clean out the mess and start over again. That's what God is trying to do. There's people that got all this stuff going on, and they won't let God come and tear it down and rebuild. You make a deacon out of them, anything else, it'll never do no good. Pat them on the back, call them brother. But until they are born again of the Spirit of God, they're just a nest full of rotten eggs. That's all. They'll never hatch. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't mean some dry handshake. Have you? Did you get the Holy Ghost? Yeah, when I shook hands with the pastor, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior. That ain't Bible doctrine. Paul found a bunch of good thoroughbred bastards up there. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, not when you believed? There's the problem. Well, I believe I'm going to go up and get the Holy Ghost today, and you come up to the altar, and you don't get it, so you go out disbelieving. Well, maybe it wasn't for me. It says, after you believe, not when, but since you believe, will you continue to walk in the same faith that took you to the altar in the first place? That's the problem. And I know this for a fact. I was preached that way so many times, come to the altar and get the Holy Ghost. I'd come up here to get it. I wouldn't get it. And I walked back weaker. I should have walked back stronger. Why didn't I? Because some lying preachers were giving me some kind of false analogy of what they thought it meant to be born again. I'm sitting here, and God gives me the heart. He said, why don't you go up there and seek the Holy Ghost? And I said, wait a minute. God asking me to ask for the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe he'll give it, maybe he won't. Really? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come up here and I'm going to pray I need the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I got it or not. And about 50 times he walked back, I guess just today wasn't the day. Brother and sister, didn't God ask me to go seek the Holy Ghost? Okay, I come up here, I need the Holy Ghost, praise God. Whew, I'm going to get it. Why? Because a minute ago, God told me to ask for it, and he's not an Indian giver, whatever you want to call it. That's not politically correct anymore. I don't care. He's not going to dangle something up there and say, well, you can't have it after all. He said, you believe what I told you there, and you keep walking until you get it, and every day you get stronger, not weaker. You get stronger in your faith because every day you keep believing. Now, you know what you're going to do sometimes? Satan's going to come and say, well, 8-4, you see, I told you 1-4. And that's when you confess and say, I'm getting it. And you don't ever have to say it from this mouth at all, but it's a battle in your mind anyways. And you say, shut up, devil. God told me I could have the Holy Ghost. He told me I could be born again. He asked me to come seek it. Well, you didn't get it. So? You didn't either. You don't back down to the devil, folks. He's your enemy. You don't let him cow you down. You sure talking big, Brother Phil. I'm talking the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants. He wants warriors. He don't want cowards. He don't want people that have to come in and be sprayed and brushed off. Oh, you're having a hard week, Sister Susie, you poor thing. We're so glad you're here. Oh, I can't even stand doing that. It makes me feel like a sissy. He said it's a personal experience that comes. And when that great unchangeable God sent his message down, it never changes. When God speaks to you and tells you something, you believe that no matter what happens. No matter what happens, you believe that. But it's so simple, Brother Phil. Other people are having this experiences and baptism, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And I'm just sitting here holding one promise. God said I could be born again. All right? Well, if you believe that, you will get born again. They can have all their experiences and jumpings and shouting all they want. But you got the Holy Ghost. Let me finish. I got one more quote here. We're at Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're living in that. Let the righteous spirit in us, these sins, vex our soul daily. Let the sins of the world and the fashion of the Hollywood, all this Hollywood evangelism and nonsense, all this makeup and beat the music, jump up and down, the music stops, down you go. When a man's washed in the blood of the Lamb, he don't need music or nothing else. The power of God just works upon him. He can shout, scream, praise God, do anything else, whether there's music or not. The Holy Ghost is in him. Anyone, when they're under the influence, the anointing, the Holy Spirit falls. Anyone can worship God and praise God and cry and come to the altar. But what about when you don't feel anything? Then what are you doing? See, that's when that tells them that's the difference, because you don't need just something to come. Oh, I feel great. I feel great. Oh, praise God. But see, when you're sitting in there and you're hearing the word of God and it brings such a joy to you, it brings such a faith that you start praising God anyways, and then watch the anointing come. You're praising God before it ever gets there. And if it never comes, he's still worthy to be praised. Because he's in there. It's not something just anoint you from the outside. You walk in it. It's a daily thing. He said the Holy Ghost is in him. He's identified with Christ Jesus. That's what makes him jump. It's not a sensation. It's not just, I felt good, but oh, I felt so good. That's wonderful. I love the feelings. But brother and sister, if that's the only time you can praise God, you're praising him the wrong time. The sinners praise him then. We have to jump around a little bit as Pentecostals because our forefathers did. They had something to jump around about. This Holy Spirit making them jump. When they came down, always live as high as you jump. If you don't jump at all. We come down today and live all kinds of lives. We bring a reflection upon the very thing we're standing for. And he says this, the last one quote. He said, God don't have any grandsons. God has sons. We try to think our mother was Pentecostal. Our mother was a message believer. Our daddy was a message believer. And that's what we are. Brother and sister, you'll come to a point. As you're young, growing old, or whatever, where you will come to this church, you'll be here because you chose to be here. Not because your mom and dad did. And if you don't get to that point, you're just a dead egg, rotten egg sitting in the pew. You have to know him yourself. I don't care what your last name is. If it's Bontrager, Browning, Branham, or Horner, or Master, or Berryhill, you must know him personally yourself. There's no grandchildren. He said, oh, we brought up in Sunday school, automatic, we're message believers. He said, Pentecostal, I'm going to have to bring a message believer. He said, that's grandchildren. God don't have grandchildren. He has sons and daughters. Here's where we'll end on this. Every man must pay the same price the first man paid. You can't make it easier for your kids. Well, I'll pray for them so they don't have to pray. No. I can believe for them. That's good, but they have to believe themselves. They have to come to the point where they believe. Every man must pay the same the price the first man paid. He must come under the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he must do. Now, let me just look at that. He said, you must pay the same price. You must come under the shed blood. Now, what kind of price is that? Jesus paid that price. So what is the price you're paying? You have to accept the blood. Well, that's not a price to pay. Try it once. Lay down your religion. Lay down your efforts. Lay down your holiness, your righteousness, all that you want, all everything, and just go under the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, either you save me or I'm lost. Stand right here once. Some of you have. You don't get there just automatically, folks, because you got a lot of dying to go to get to that point where you're going to say, I'm just going to give up everything and claim the blood of Jesus. I'm going to give up all the worldly pleasures. I'm going to give up all my religion, which is harder than giving up the worldly pleasures. Especially the older you get, and you've been sitting under all kinds of teaching that has warped you. And you stand there with nothing. My hands I bring simply to the cross I claim. He said, I'll accept that. How few people get there, because it's a terrifying place to stand. What if he don't accept you? Here's the good thing. If you get the same place that the first man got, he's guaranteed to accept you. Because if he don't accept you, then he was something wrong when he accepted the first man that got to this point. But if you get where the other person got and they got the Holy Ghost, he's obligated to give it to you. You got the same for healing, he's obligated to heal you. Whatever it is you have need of, what deliverance do you need? What freedom do you need tonight? I was in Memphis this week. We have an employee conference there every year. About 1,500 or so people gather at this hotel and this convention center. We have all this big shindig going on. God started dealing with me with something that's been going on since I was a kid. And I thought, you know, I had finally maybe got past this, and there it's come rearing up again, something inside, you know, in my spirit realm. And it's just a stronghold that's deep down in there. And something happened in here. It was sitting there just staring at me like, ah, told you I'm still here. And I recognized, especially last night, I was in the hotel room just thinking all these things. I recognized God put this to happen, put that to happen, put that to happen, to bring that to a head. So there it would raise its nasty head and say, I've got some stuff down in here that's still got to go. And I was so tempted. What I want to do is say, okay, I'm going to get this out. I'm going to deal with it this way. And I just stopped. I said, no, I'm not going to. I'm not going to lift a hair to try and fix this. Because if I could have fixed it, I would have fixed it years ago. But God, you brought this up. You made this happen so that I could be set free. But you're going to do it. And I'm testifying right now that he's going to do it. It's going to make me more free and more free. And that's the thing about it. Every time you think, well, I finally got some place, something pops up and says, oh, wait a minute, there's still some more to go. Still in the flesh. But he sets you free, and he keeps setting you free. He can set it free. He said, just give it to me. I got so much power to unleash through you. But you got to let it go. What a mighty God we serve. Aren't you happy? Boy, I am. Can't always stand it. I'm so happy. Well, you don't have any trials. I didn't say I don't have trials. I said I'm happy. You don't get sad? I get sad, but I'm happy when I'm sad, brother and sister. There's something inside. There's something that's real. It just keeps bubbling up. Even when you don't feel it, it's still there. Isn't that good? My. You don't have to walk how you feel. You don't have to wear your feelings on your sleeve. You can walk in faith and say, that's all okay. All is well. All is well. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come tonight and encourage us with your word, not as an emotional encouraging, but as a solid rock, a foundational, a revelation encouraging. We'd take the word and apply it to our lives, Lord, as you give it to us, and we accept it, and we walk on in faith. Lord, I just ask you to go with each one. Bless each one, special blessing just to come out in this chilly evening, and it's late, it's dark, we're tired, Lord, but we cared enough to come out, Lord, because we care about you, Lord Jesus. So I know, Father, you care about us. Keep us safe as we go home, Lord. Watch over us the rest of this week. And, Lord, let us all be here Sunday morning ready to press on, Lord, as the word you have given us for Sunday. Lord, I pray for the ones who didn't make it tonight, Lord. If just Lord, just you know what each one needs. Some of them, they should have been here. Some of them couldn't make it for a legitimate reason. But whatever it was, Lord, just each one, Lord, meet their needs. Bring them here Sunday, Lord. In the right frame of mind, Lord Jesus, that you can minister to their needs, that we can accept it, Father, each one of us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing that.